like, he would do that kind of, like, made people uncomfortable. You know, I specifically remember two incidences. One was the first time, like, he walked into the locker room to congratulate us, so basically to come in the locker room, whatever. And he would walk around, like, he had a couple of male friends with him, and he was just walking around, like, and I specifically remember him coming up to me and, like, just, like, you know, hey, Olden, how you doing? I'm like, fine, thank you. You know, and never said good game. He just, like, started feeling my shoulder. Look at his shoulders, you know. It's like, wow, look how strong and sturdy he is. You know, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. What are you doing right now? You know, it's like, and it really didn't dawn on me what he was doing because, again, it was all new to me. But it was like, you know, he was, like, testing me out or something. I don't know. It was just some weird stuff, you know.
What do you think of the punishment that was handed down yesterday by the NBA commissioner?
I thought it was just. I thought it was a perfect punishment. You know, it was the maximum financial amount they could do. But the banning him for life and, you know, proceeding to get him removed as owner, I mean, it's fitting because these are things. And, you know, let me go back. I think Adam Silver, you know, did what David Stern should have done, you know, years ago. And so that's what made me happiest is the fact that he, you know, the commissioner finally stepped up and said, hey, this is enough. Enough is enough. And it's a body of work. You know, it wasn't this one incident. Even though he said it was based on this, no, it was a body of work. And that's why they're removing him, because of everything from the past as well.
It was somewhat unusual that the NAACP Los Angeles chapter was about to give him an award. So some people apparently had been taken in by Mr. Sterling.
Hey, Brian, you know what? You can get an award, too, if you give him some money. You know, if you make a donation, you'll get a Lifetime Achievement Award. That's what they're based on. So I didn't take any credence to the whole NAACP thing. That's changed over the years, in my personal opinion. You know, so it was a financial thing. And I was happy to see them at least give the money back. And, you know, just like I think it was UCLA that gave an endowment back, so of $3 million. So, you know, people are saying, hey, you know what, we don't want your money. You know, there's a lot of powerful people out there with money and with those kind of views. And to me, it's not right. Just because you have money, whether it's money or not, you shouldn't even be thinking that way.
There was some reports on the television and in the papers today that the four teams in the playoffs last night were not going to play. They were going to boycott if the NBA commissioner had not banned Mr. Sterling for life. Would that have been an appropriate response, do you think?
Yes, it would have. And it would have been final. I would have rejoiced. You know, I mean, I would have been right there with them because, you know, we don't have, you know, guys that have stood up, you know, and I was so glad to see that, you know, that these young men finally figured it out. It's like, hey, hold up now. Enough is enough. Like I said, you know, that was the mentality. So for them to even have had those conversations about boycotting, I thought it was tremendous.
When you played, what were the race relations like between players and between players and coaches? Were there problems there?
Not really. I mean, you know, there was a few here and there, but not, it wasn't like a league-wide thing. I thought, you know, and you got to remember, early on, it was all, pretty much all white coaches. We only had, like, who was it, Casey Jones. I mean, Bill Russell was a coach once, so he had been a coach. Casey Jones, Don Chaney, who else? I mean, you know, you see, I'm stuck right now, whereas today I could rattle off a whole bunch of black coaches' names. So there weren't many black head coaches back then. So, you know, you were kind of skeptical because, you know, you have a white man trying to tell you how to act, how to be, how to, you know, but a lot of these young men, you know, from inner cities, you know, we can't relate, you know, to you and your upbringing, just like they can't relate to us and our upbringing. So it was that kind of dynamic. But, you know, I think it was always friendly and respectful. And so that's all you could really ask for because we're all not going to get along. When I played for the Pistons, you know, most of the guys didn't even like each other. But they respected each other, you know, to put all their egos aside and all their animosity and play, win championships, and do everything. So it wasn't like, you know, hey, we hated each other. It's just a lot of times you just don't know each other.
Could this open up a dialogue on race that perhaps wasn't underway before this incident?
Well, I hope so, because he's not the only one. You know, not only on race, but on everything else, you know, on homophobia, on a lot of things, because there's stuff out, still out there. And I think that's what this has done. It's really opening up the eyes, because there's more to this. And so I'm hoping that, you know, people understand that Donald Sterling was not, you know, the sole problem. You know, there's a bigger underlying picture here.